On a day like today, when you're asked to give class, you realize much more than on any other day that you're not just asked to talk, but you're asked to represent a person, to praise a person, to talk about a person. And that is a lot harder than just talking. And particularly if it's a person like Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who means so much to all of us, who is so much, by whose grace everything we have has come about. And I was thinking of, forgive the interfaith quote, but a Christian preacher once said that he was talking about what will happen when we die, when the end of the world is there and God will judge us. And he said, we'd hardly have our feet out of time and gaze into eternity and think, my God, such riches there are in Jesus Christ, and I've come to the throne of judgment almost a pauper. And that is how I feel today. Such riches there are in Nityananda Prabhu, and yet I come before him and before you almost a pauper. So little we understand of him, so little we embrace of him, so little we grab onto, so little we take advantage of him. But such riches there are in Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So it's a little, frightening to talk of such a great personality as Sri Nityananda Ram Prabhu. But I'll try and say a few things. And it's also particularly difficult because everyone likes Nityananda. Everyone likes him. All the devotees are very fond of him. And we could see it in Kirtan. Kirtan is much more lively than usual. People chant Nityananda's name much more than we do on the appearance days of other forms of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada himself was very fond of Nityananda Prabhu. We kind of take it for granted that we worship Sri Sri Gauranitai. But practically in every temple where you go in ISKCON, you'll find the Gauranitai will be on the altar and will be worshipped, sometimes in small forms, sometimes in very big forms. But everywhere we worship Gauranitai, Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if you go outside of ISKCON and you go to other Gaudiya groups, we don't see Nityananda Prabhu being worshipped so much in his deity form. You see Gaurgadhadhar is worshipped, or as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would do, he would install Sri Sri Radha Krishna and Lord Gauranga to point out that Lord Gauranga is Radha and Krishna in one. But there would be no Nityananda. So Nityananda was very dear to Prabhupada as well, so that sort of adds more weight to it. Let's see. But it is really by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that we're all here. If you can imagine, if you go back when you were a little child, and people ask you always, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know what girls want to be, but boys generally want to be a policeman or a firefighter or a pilot or something like that. And those are the ambitions we have. Those are the dreams we have. I wanted to go and live in a forest. we all have our dreams. We all have our desires. But if you would have asked any of us when we were small, except perhaps those of you who are very fortunate to be born in Vaishnava families, but if you would have asked us and said, what would you like to be when you grow up? I don't think any one of us would have said, I'd like to be a Hare Krishna devotee. I'd like to chant Krishna's names and belong to that group of people. None of us would have thought that. Even if we thought, okay, I want to love God, or if we were, you know, if we had that piety and we could see that our life is meant to serve God, or if we'd strive for liberation, none of us could have imagined that we'd end up here and that the concept of God we have, and that the path to liberation we have, is so much more than we could ever imagine, than we could ever have dreamt for. And that is all by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. We go through life, and this is, of course, only this life, but as we've been little kids again and again, and we've had all these dreams of what we wanted to be. Maybe this time it was a firefighter, maybe the other time it was a policeman, or whatever the girls like to be when they're small. And so in this way we go life after life after life after life after life after life. We go through this and we forget about Krishna. We forget the goal of our life. The Bhagavatam very powerfully says, Nirdeham Adyam Sulabham Sudurlabham, that this human body is Adyam, it's the beginning of everything. You can, from this human body, you can obtain anything you can desire. You can go up, you can become one of the gods, you can go down and reside in hell. But you can also go way beyond this world and become anything you like. And yet we choose to become a firefighter or a policeman or go and live in the forest. Such small desires we have. And it says, Nirdeham Adyam Sulabham, and this human form is easily obtained. Somehow or other we got hold of this, and we have no idea how. Somehow or other we were born in the family we were born, and we take it for granted because we think this is Sulabham, this is easily obtained. But the Bhagavatam then says, Sulabham Sudurlabham, and yet, although it's so easily obtained, it is so hard to obtain as well. This is a rare chance we have. And we throw it away, we forget about it. And so the fact that we're all sitting here and chanting in kirtan and dancing in kirtan and celebrating the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Ram Prabhu, that is all just by his mercy. None of us could have imagined that this would happen. It is inconceivable, and yet here we are. Living his mercy, living through his mercy, living by his mercy. Now, I'll read a section from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that is quite nice. That is very beautiful. And it's at the chapter, of course, The Glories of Lord Nityananda Ram. But it's a section that we sometimes don't really read very much, or we skip over, or we don't pay so much attention to. You have a verse on the board, we'll get to that. It's sort of in the middle of this section. I'll read a fair amount, but it's a fairly light reading, so don't worry. I think you'll be able to pay attention. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He's described who Nityananda Prabhu is. And of course we know he is Shesha, he is Balaram, he is Ananta. He is the origin of all the manifestations of God that we know in this world. They all come from him. He's the source of them. He's this enormously great personality. He's the Lord himself, and yet he comes as a servant of the Lord and to serve the Lord in any capacity possible. And so Kaviraj Goswami has gone through this all. He's described everything that we need to know about Lord Nityananda to understand his greatness. But now he talks about the greatness of his mercy. The greatness of the compassion of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And it is very autobiographical. Kaviraj Goswami is writing about his own life and how Nityananda Prabhu touched his life and changed his life. So he says he's had a fight with his brother before this. His brother liked Lord Chaitanya a lot but didn't really care much for Lord Nityananda. And Kaviraj Goswami got angry at his brother and he said, how can you do this? You cannot take one and reject the other. You cannot worship just Lord Chaitanya and not Lord Nityananda. They go together. If you decide to worship one and not the other, it is like the farmer who had a chicken and thought, oh, this side of the chicken I like because there's eggs that come out. But the other one I don't really like, so because I have to feed it. There's food that goes in there. So I'll cut it off and I'll just keep the part that I like where the egg comes out. And so, of course, what happens when you cut the chicken in half? You lose both. You lose both the eggs and the head. And so Kaviraj Goswami says it is like this. If you accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but reject Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you lose both. You cannot worship either of them separately. He says, better, very strongly, he says, it is better to blaspheme both than to blaspheme one. At least they're together then. But you cannot blaspheme one. Better blaspheme both. Better criticize both and reject both. And so Kaviraj Goswami had this argument with his brother, and he goes to bed that night, and this is what happens, how he describes what happens. He says, that night Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. Lord Nityananda was pleased with him and so appeared to him. In the village of Jamatapura, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore twinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. In Sanskrit literature, a maddened elephant moves very gracefully. We tend to not appreciate that. We think of a mad elephant who sort of tramples everything on its way. But a maddened elephant, he moves very gracefully and very gently. So Lord Nityananda moves like a maddened elephant, very gracefully. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing beetle. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted, Krishna, Krishna, in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around, the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like coward boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees, and also chanted, Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. And that's the verse you have on the board. Should we go through it?
Yes.
Okay. Are are Krishna dashe na karahe bhaya. Are are Krishna dashe na karahe bhaya.
Are are Krishna dashe na karahe bhaya.
Vrindavane yaha taha sarvalabhya haya. Vrindavane yaha taha sarvalabhya haya. Are are Krishna dasa na karahe bhaya. Vrindavane yaha taha sarvalabhya haya. Are are Krishna dasa na karahe bhaya. Vrindavane yaha taha sarvalabhya haya.
Bhaya. Tavana Dahataha Sharvalabhya Haya.
Hare Hare Krishna Dasa Nakaraha Bhaya.
Vrindavane Yahataha Sharvalabhya Haya.
Hare Hare Krishna Dasa Nakaraha Bhaya.
Vrindavane Yahataha Sharvalabhya Haya.
Are, are.
Oh, oh.
Krishnadasa.
Krishnadasa.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Karaha.
Karaha.
Make.
Make.
Bhaya.
Bhaya.
Fear.
Fear.
Vrindavane Yaha.
Vrindavane.
Go to Vrindavan.
Go to Vrindavan.
Taha.
Taha.
There.
There.
Sarva.
Sarva.
Everything. Labhyahoy
is available.
Oh, my dear Krishnadasa, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. And I'll read some of the rest, because Kaviraj Goswami sort of expands on that. Oh, my dear Krishnadasa, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke, and when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard, and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second, I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy, I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana. By his mercy, I have attained the shelter of the great personality Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and by his mercy, I have found the refuge of Sri Swarup Damodara. By the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, I learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Sri Radha Govinda. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the result of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. I am not fit to speak all these confidential words about my visiting Lord Madan Gopal and Lord Govinda. And then there's a whole series of verses about Lord Madan Gopal and how extraordinary it is to obtain the shelter of Lord Madan Gopal. But we'll skip over these now because it's fairly long. And so he gives this long description of how extraordinary Lord Madan Gopal is and how fortunate he is to be under their shelter. And then he says, therefore, who can describe the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whom I have attained the shelter of this Lord Govinda? All the groups of Vaishnavas who live in Vrindavan are absorbed in chanting the all auspicious name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the life and soul of those Vaishnavas who do not know anything but devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The dust and shade of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas have been granted to this fallen soul by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said, in Vrindavan, all things are possible. Here I have explained his brief statement in detail. I have attained all this by coming to Vrindavan, and this was made possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I have described my own story without reservations. The attributes of Lord Nityananda, making me like a madman, force me to write these things. The glory of Lord Nityananda's transcendental attributes are unfathomable. Even Lord Shesha, with his thousands of mouths, cannot find their limit. So Kaviraj Goswami, this dream that he had of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda appearing in his dream and telling him, go to Vrindavan, this changed his life. He was living in Bengal. He left for Vrindavan, a long and dangerous journey. Remember, Jeev Goswami's father, Rupan Sanatan Goswami's brother, died on the way there. It's a very dangerous journey in those days. There's robbers, there's wild animals, there's dangerous roads, there's toll collectors, and so on. He made this long and dangerous journey, arrived in Vrindavan safely, and obtained the shelter of Vrindavan, of Sri Rupa Sanatana, Raghunath Dasa, Swarup Damodar, of Lord Govinda and Madan Gopal, and as he says at the end, of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, whose life and soul is Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. The mercy of Lord Nityananda changed his life and everything he holds dear in his life. If you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you understand how dear all these things are to him. Sri Rupa and Sanatana, Raghunath Das and Swarup Damodar, Vrindavan itself, and these deities, they're the life of Kaviraj Goswami. And he says, all of this I've obtained simply by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Now, we may not have had a dream where Lord Nityananda appeared and said, go to Vrindavan, there everything will happen. And yet, our lives too are changed by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And everything we have, everything we hold dear as Vaishnavas, or aspiring Vaishnavas, also comes from the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We know now there is such a place as Vrindavan. We know that Vrindavan is a place where we aspire to go to. It's the abode of Krishna. We hope to reunite with him. By his mercy, we too have obtained the shelter of Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, of Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarup Damodar Goswami. And of course, living a couple of hundred years after Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, we have obtained the shelter of so many more. We have obtained the shelter of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the great fearless preacher who redirected the Sri Chaitanya's mission, and of course, most importantly, of Srila Prabhupada. All this we have obtained simply by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who somehow or other appeared in our life, in some form or other, and said, go to Vrindavan, aspire to go to Vrindavan, and you will find all your desires will be fulfilled. And so we have obtained the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. We've obtained the shelter of all the acharyas in our line. And as Kaviraj Goswami says, he says, by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, I've learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami, I've tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. And that is what we've obtained too through the parampara. We've obtained too a conception of God, a conception of devotional service that is so high, so inconceivable in its beauty, in its magnitude, in its weight, that none of us could have ever imagined something like this would have that there was something like this, that God, as understood by our acharyas, as explained by our acharyas, as Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna to us, that God was like that. Who of us could have dreamt that? Such sweet Lord, who's not just the Lord of everything that exists, but is also the sweet coward boy who likes to steal butter and run around with the gopis and the gopas. Who could have imagined that? We've obtained this, like Kaviraj Goswami says, because Lord Nityananda appeared in our life and said, go to Vrindavan. There, everything you will want will be fulfilled and much more. We obtained the final conclusions of devotional service. What a practice we have! Sometimes I go to in Oxford, my college that's attached to the university is a Dominican college. It's run by Dominican friars, sometimes to sort of be a little social. I attend their services, and they really appreciate that. So I attend their services, and every time I walk out of there, and it's kind of nice, they sing, they have Gregorian chants, and every time I walk out of there and think, my God, our practice is unbelievable. What we do just doesn't compare to anything I've seen anywhere else. And what they do is nice, and you kind of get a nice feeling from it. But every time I walk out there and think, my God, I couldn't do this for my whole life. But when a good kirtan, when there's a good kirtan, you think, my God, this I could do for my whole life. This is the highest form of devotional service we've obtained by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We've obtained, Kaviraj Goswami says, he's attained the mercy or the shelter of Sri Govinda. Govindaji and Madan Mohan. And we too, we have obtained the shelter of the Lord. Here we are in this beautiful temple room with Sri Sri Radha Gopinath smiling upon us and Srimati Radharani offering her blessings. Who could have imagined that we, if we go back being a child with all our dreams, with all our desires, with all our aspirations, we were reaching for something really tiny, and we've attained something that doesn't even compare to it is you cannot even put the two together. The desires we have and we had, the aspirations we had, and what we've obtained, it just cannot compare. One is enormously gigantic, the other is tiny, insignificant, and yet. All this is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We've obtained the shelter of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We've obtained the shelter of Govindaji, of Madan Mohan. But Kaviraj Goswami goes further than that. And he says, at the very end, he says, I've obtained the shelter of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, whose life and soul is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and who know nothing but the devotional service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. The dust of their feet I place on my head by the grace of Lord Nityananda. He has brought me there. He has shown me the way to these great Vaishnavas. And we often in our movement we tend to speak negatively about Sangha, how community is difficult and how people irritate us and how the faults of others sort of loom large in our eyes and so on. But actually it is a blessing of Sri Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly of Lord Nityananda. It is by his grace that we are here. How wonderful was it when Maharaj was leading kirtan, everyone was chanting. Such a wonderful thing to do. I beg to disagree with those people that think that the association of devotees is troublesome and is sort of a necessary evil. I humbly disagree. I'm not a very social person. I'm a bit of an introvert. But I would not want to walk this path alone. The friendships I've gained on this path are so exquisite. The company of like-minded people is so amazingly strengthening in my spiritual life that I would not want to walk this path alone. And we come to realize that the company of devotees we have, that's by the grace of Lord Nityananda. The friendships we have in our devotional service, that is all by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who took compassion on us and guided us to them. And of course, they're all the servants of Lord Nityananda. As Kaviraj Goswami says, their life and soul is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They're all his servants. And as the story that precedes this this whole narration shows the servant of Lord Nityananda, or Lord Nityananda himself. You have the reason why Kaviraj Goswami's brother got upset or said he didn't like Lord Nityananda was because one of Lord Nityananda's dear associates, Meena Ketan Ramdas, appeared. And like Lord Nityananda, he was a bit of an avadhuta. And he was behaving very wildly. He was very strangely dressed for Vaishnava fashion. He was behaving a bit oddly, but he was in love of Krishna. He was absorbed in ecstatic love. And so he manifested the mood of Lord Nityananda. And when the pujari who was doing the service did not honor him, Meena Ketan Ramdas got upset and said, "You are like another Romaharshana Sutta who fails to recognize the greatness of Lord Balaram." And so Lord Nityananda's servants are Nityananda. They represent him. And this is what we have to learn to see. And of course, Lord Nityananda is an avadhuta. Yesterday over lunch with Maharaj, we were discussing the strange behavior of Lord Nityananda and how oddly he sometimes acts. And Lord Nityananda was not always easy to love. You know the story of how Shivananda Shain, who is a very dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Shivananda Shain's own family, his entire family, is like my own family." The Lord considered him he was his brother. He was part of his family. Shivananda Shain used to organize the yearly pilgrimage to Puri, bringing all the devotees from Bengal, from Shantipur, from Kumarahatta, from Kulinagram. All the different devotees would gather, and Shivananda Shain would take care of them and would guide them to Puri, paying the toll collectors on the way, putting them up, giving them accommodation, and he would finance that all by himself. So many devotees that he would take care of. And then one day, something went wrong, and there was a little bit of trouble on the road, and Shivananda Shain could not accommodate Lord Nityananda as quickly as Lord Nityananda desired. And Lord Nityananda got angry. And what did he do? He kicked Shivananda Shain in the stomach. And he cursed his wife. Shivananda Shain was the only one who could appreciate it. And he said, so fortunate am I that the Lord's lotus feet have kicked me, that they've touched my belly. And so fortunate is my family that it is cursed by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. But Shivananda Shain's wife wasn't very happy. She was crying. And Srikanta, Shivananda Shain's nephew, he was even more upset. And he thought, who is this person? Here's my uncle organizing this whole pilgrimage, putting everyone up, providing for everyone, paying everything out of his own pocket. And because there's some trouble on the way. It's not even Shivananda Shain's fault. There was something that went wrong on the way. And Nityananda is so impatient that he gets angry because Shivananda Shain cannot accommodate him quickly enough. And what does Srikanta do? He says, "Okay, I'm going alone to Puri." And he leaves the devotees and he travels alone to Puri and reaches there before everyone else. And of course, we also know the story of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got angry with Lord Nityananda when he broke his danda. Here you have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a new sannyasi, and they're traveling. It's the first journey they really take. And they travel together, and Maharaj can probably appreciate this. What would happen if a new sannyasi is traveling with his danda, and his companion takes the danda and breaks it into pieces and throws it away? It is not a very nice thing to do. And yet Lord Nityananda did it, and Lord Chaitanya was upset. And again he said, "I don't want to travel with you anymore, I'll travel to Puri alone," and left him. And the same with Lord Nityananda's servants, like Meena Ketan Ramdas. They're also not always easy to love. But we should have the mood of Shivananda Shain, And even if the servants of Lord Nityananda are a little difficult, we should say how fortunate we are to be kicked in the stomach by Lord Nityananda or his servants, to be cursed by his associates. How fortunate we are. It is a change of perspective we should aspire to go through. And so in this way, Lord Nityananda, he's changed all our lives. He's brought us together here at the feet of Srila Prabhupada and at the feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. How extraordinary is this? And he's still telling to us, Are Are Krishna Dasa, Nakarahe Bhai, Vrindavane, what is it? Vrindavane Yata Taha Sharvalabhya Hai. Krishna Dasa, we're all servants of Krishna. You go to Vrindavan, and do not fear, do not be afraid. Once you will reach Vrindavan, everything you desire will be fulfilled. And we might be afraid, and we might say the road is dangerous, like Krishnadas Kaviraj might have thought. Well, Vrindavan is kind of far, you know. I'm in Bengal, and Vrindavan is all the way there, and I have to travel through all these different lands with different rulers, and there's jungles on the way, and I'll have to cross dangerous rivers, and what if I'll die like Jiva Goswami's father? Because Kaviraj Goswami and Jiva Goswami were from basically the same village, so they knew each other. So what if he thought, well, you know, Jiva's father died on the way, maybe I this is not a good idea, you know, I'll better stay here. It was just a dream anyway, you know. Why should I trust my dreams? I have so many weird dreams, so why should I trust this one? But Nityananda Prabhu says, no, nakaraha bhai, do not fear, go on the way, go to Vrindavan, and do not hesitate, do not wait. When Kaviraj Goswami woke up, that very second he said, I'm going to Vrindavan, and he just dropped everything and walked away, and never came back. And we might think, well, the road to Vrindavan is difficult and is hard. But Lord Nityananda says, do not fear, do not be afraid. And Prabhupada explains, those of you who were doing the Upanishad readings the other day, he paraphrases this verse, or he sort of has this variant on this verse from the Katha Upanishad. Nayam Atma Balahinena Lapya. That the Atma, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, cannot be obtained by someone who's balahinena, who's devoid of strength. And Prabhupada explains, this strength is, of course, not physical strength. It is not that we have to become bodybuilders and lift weights and become very strong, but it is spiritual strength. And so the Lord cannot be attained by someone who's devoid of strength. And of course, Lord Nityananda is Balaram, and Balaram is the one who gives spiritual strength. And so we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid to go to Vrindavan and think the journey will be dangerous, and envision all the dangers that we might encounter, all the anarthas we have to overcome, all the reactions we might get from the world, all the temptations Maya will send us. We should not think of those. We should just have faith and go. Because Lord Nityananda will give us the strength to get there. He will give us the strength to reach there. Prabhupada, one lecture on Nityananda Trayodashi, he quoted this line, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhya, that the Lord cannot be obtained by someone who does not have strength. And he said, those who think they're on the spiritual path and they're doing all the work, they're wrong, they're in illusion. That is, he says, Ahankara. That is the false ego speaking. Ahankara vimudate, vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Prabhupada quoted that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. That because of the ahankara, because of the false ego, we think we are doing everything. But actually it is Lord Nityananda who's doing everything. He's giving us the strength to move on. He's empowering us to take the next step and the next step and the next step until we reach Vrindavan. So we should not be afraid. We should not fear, we should not hesitate, and we should know that Lord Nityananda has brought us this far. Lord Nityananda has brought us here, and he wants to take us further. He wants to take us all the way to Vrindavan and bring us to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Radha and Krishna. That is his aim. That is his ambition. And we just have to be like Krishnadas and say, yes, let me go. What am I waiting here for? Let's drop everything and let's just move and take this dangerous journey. And then what will happen? Once you've attained Vrindavan, Nityananda says, then all your desires will be fulfilled. Everything you could have hoped for and much more will be there. And you won't regret it. Even though the journey might have been hard, even though it took us a while to get there, when you get there, everything was worth it. So on this day, we pray to Sri Nityananda Ramprabhu, and we pray him to give us that strength, and we pray to lead us further along the road to Vrindavan, and we pray him to we pray to him to thank him for bringing us this far, for leading us, for appearing in our dreamlike existence and saying, go to Vrindavan. What are you waiting for? Overlooking our many faults, for overlooking all our defects. Kaviraj Goswami says, anyone who utters my name loses all his piety. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Of course, that is our position too. We are like that. We have no good qualities within us, except by the grace of Lord Nityananda, who saw something, some tiny, tiny nice thing in us, or even didn't see that, and said, let's go. What are we waiting for? In the later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Puri, he tells Nityananda Prabhu, he says, at the end of their stay in Puri, Lord Chaitanya tells him that, now you go back to Bengal and don't come back to Puri. You stay in Bengal. He says, because you only can do what even I cannot do. And Prabhupada explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are the people he converted? Who are the people he brought to Krishna? Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Very educated people, very high class people, working for the Muslim government. Ramananda Roy, the same thing, very highly placed individual. Sarvamoma Bhattacharya, which Prabhupada in that purport says, is the greatest philosopher of India. Prakashananda Saraswati, all very highly placed persons. Prabhupada says, spiritually they were dead, but materially they were alive. They were very qualified people. Who does Nityananda Prabhu deliver? Jagai and Madhai. And when he goes back to Bengal, he delivers all sorts of people. And so Nityananda Prabhu only can do this. Lord Chaitanya cannot do this. Lord Chaitanya says, even I cannot do this. I uplift the top, the cream of society, but you do everyone else. Because this task is beyond me. We think of Lord Nityananda in this way today, and we think how fortunate Lord Nityananda was there. We say Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful. We say he's the Mahavadanya avatara, the most munificent descent of the Lord. And yet, if it wasn't for Lord Nityananda, would we be here? Were we highly educated? Were we highly qualified, materially speaking, people? We weren't, at least most of us. And so it is by the grace of Lord Nityananda that came through Srila Prabhupada and through all Srila Prabhupada's servants that we are here. So today we turn to Nityananda Prabhu and in gratitude, and we think of who we were and who we are now and who we might become, and we pray to Lord Nityananda to bring us there, to give us the strength to reach there. I'm a little over time, so I'll end here. Sri Nityananda Ram Prabhu Ki. Should I take questions or comments? Is there any question or comment? Mataji? Of course, it's not that we should all jump on a plane and go to Vrindavan now and leave Radhadesh and turn this castle into what it was before the devotees moved in here. The Vrindavan is, of course, the spiritual Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said the temples, of course, are also Vrindavan. But we have to understand this. We have to realize this. So one can either see it as we should go to this back to the spiritual world, or we should develop the consciousness that wherever we are, there is Vrindavan, which of course will lead to the first. But that is our aspiration. does that? Of marriage, or
you read that Krishnadas Goswami, he was thankful for getting the association of Swarup Damodar Goswami.
Hmm.
So the question is, because I don't remember in Vrindavan any place of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Hmm. So is that in the form of his diaries?
Swarup Damodar did not go to Vrindavan, as far as I know, and as far as most people seem to think. So the shelter he attained of Swarup Damodar Goswami was through Raghunath Das Goswami, who was, of course, a very close associate of Swarup Damodar. And he mentions them together in one verse. And so it was the teachings of Swarup Damodar, which, as we know, the Chaitanya Charitamrita was very much, I mean, he built a lot on the, he quotes verses from Damodar Swarup's work, and sort of they form, at least for the Adi Lila, there's quite they sort of form the structure of the work. So his understanding, his Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much indebted to Swarup Damodar. That's where he attained these teachings from there. So it is, yes, it is through the teachings. And Prabhupada, actually, there's a very short purport there to that verse, and Prabhupada says, anyone desiring to become an expert in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna should always aspire to be under the guidance of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Then he lists the others as well that he mentioned. So he became under the guidance of Swarup Damodar Goswami through Raghunath Das Goswami and his teachings. Okay, what about Papa?
Sometimes Prabhupada says that Krishna is our guru, it's the Maharaj is our guru. But Nityananda guru seems also to be the same thing, our guru.
Okay. I forgot I was supposed to repeat the questions in the mic. But the question is that Prabhupada sometimes says that Krishna is our guru and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our guru. And where does Nityananda Prabhu fit in that? That's more or less. Nityananda is, of course, Balaram, and Balaram is of course, is the Lord himself who serves the Lord. He's the guru. He's the first guru. And he teaches us how to worship and serve Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu is really guru. He's the person who teaches us how to serve Krishna and how to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's the person who brings us to Krishna and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Kaviraj Goswami was telling his brother, that you cannot just take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without Nityananda. If you cut Nityananda off, you won't have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu either. And so And of course, in a sense, it doesn't make much sense to worship Nityananda Prabhu without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since Sri Chaitanya is his life and soul, and he brings us to Sri Chaitanya. So we worship both, because Lord Nityananda is like the Guru. The Guru is the representative of Krishna, and yet he's the servant of Krishna. So Nityananda, he's the Lord himself. He's Balaram, and yet he serves the Lord. So he's like the Guru. He's the Guru, basically. And all the other Gurus that we have in the world are just representatives of Lord Nityananda, and derive their power from Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada says the blessings of the spiritual masters are the blessings of Lord Nityananda. Is there a reason or an explanation for his special humor, for Lord Nityananda's odd behavior, I suppose? He's absorbed in love of Krishna. He's absorbed in love of God, and the effect is intoxication. He's drunk on the love of God, and he shows no restraint. He just expresses it freely in any way he thinks appropriate, and of course from that, drunk people, as we know, sometimes act a little weird. So Nityananda Prabhu, who's drunk on Sri Chaitanya's love and Sri Krishna's love, he acts sometimes a little weird. But even though we might think, well, it's kind of a little strange, why is he doing all this thing? We don't mind, because if it wasn't for that, Nityananda Prabhu wouldn't be so merciful and wouldn't be so compassionate. Because he's drunk, he cannot see things very clearly, and therefore he cannot see, this person is qualified for devotional service, this person is qualified for love of God, and this person isn't. He's drunk and he doesn't see it, so he says, here, take it, and here, you too, you seem like a nice guy. So we don't mind his odd behavior, and we think it is wonderful, because if it weren't for his odd behavior, we wouldn't be here. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, may act very oddly at times, but we understand he's an avadhuta. He's on a platform where avadhuta means one who has shaken off. He's shaken off all social conventions. And he's just in his own world, where it's just him and love for Krishna. And if we're fortunate enough to cross his path, then we're pulled into that world, and we become the recipient of his grace. Mara Jayavadra? No, very true. Yes, and it's sort of, if we would blame Nityananda Prabhu for, or sort of criticize him for some of the odd things he did, how unfortunate would we be to say, oh, look, you know, why is he kicking Shivananda Shane? Why is he cursing his wife? Why is he breaking Lord Chaitanya's danda? Why is he throwing rice at Advaita Acharya? Why does he get married when he's fairly old? twice. But that is part of his lila. That is his absorption in Krishna's love. And it is beyond our understanding. It is said that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would receive Lord Nityananda Prabhu in Puri, in Jagannath Puri, they would talk to each other in secret, sort of in a remote place. And if someone would overhear part of the conversation, nobody knew what they were talking about. Nobody understood. It was beyond their comprehension. Here you have the Lord with his dear servant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with Lord Nityananda, acting on a level so far beyond this, we cannot even conceive it. So, that is Lord Nityananda. So we don't see it as a fault. We see it as a as a an ornament, as a something that decorates his character, and we like eccentric people. There's something nice about them. Sometimes I think, what would it be like if we had Nityananda Prabhu in ISKCON? What would it be like? How would we react? How would we behave towards him? He's sort of a person that cannot be fit in anything. That sort of he didn't have an institution. He just sort of went around, gave love of God to everyone, told everyone to chant Krishna's name, and people just followed him, and that was it. So we like him for that. There's something. The question is, why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur not install Lord Nityananda? Well, that's probably a question for Pranava Prabhu. As far as I've understood, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to establish the divinity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and establish that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, is non-different from Radha and Krishna. So that is what he did. So you see, in like in the deities he installed, it was often Shri Radha and Krishna, and then to the side there was, on the same altar, was Lord Gauranga. And that was his aim. Srila Prabhupada wanted to spread Krishna consciousness much further. He took up the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and said, okay, we have to bring this to the entire world. And we see why Srila Prabhupada installed Gaura Nithai. Because if it wasn't for Nityananda, we would not be able to reach Lord Chaitanya. We would not understand Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada sort of embodied that compassionate mood of Lord Nityananda. And therefore, he installed Gaura Nithai. And of course, it is not something unusual. We see to Kaviraj Goswami, it is also Gaura Nithai. They're his main deities. Advaita Acharya is there, and Gadadhar Pandit is there, and Srivas Thakur is there. But it is really Gaura Nithai who are his heart and soul. And so Prabhupada, the more I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the more I listen to Prabhupada's lectures and so on, the more I realize everything Prabhupada did comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the analogies he uses in preaching come from here, from this book. And so he took this mood of Kaviraj Goswami, of worshipping Lord Chaitanya with Lord Nityananda, and therefore he installed them in temples. And that's why I don't know of any temple where you can go, where you don't see Gaura Nithai being worshipped in ISKCON. They're always there in some form or other. Does that satisfy? Should we end here, or? If there's no more questions or comments. Oh, sorry.
And it seems like it's kind of repeating itself, the people are criticizing on the basis of the moral principles, something which is transcendental. So, I mean, how to understand this kind of identification of the vision is not true.
The question is, Lord Nityananda was criticized because he was not adhering to the moral standards of his time. And so how do we see the relationship between ethics and spirituality? That's more or less it. Ethics are important to advance in Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada said a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman. He behaves perfectly in the world. He adheres to the moral codes. He's an ethical person, but of course, Somebody who's so absorbed in Krishna as Lord Nityananda, for him, these social conventions, when they can be restricting to his expression of love of Krishna, and so he might just throw them out. And it is not that we, as followers of Lord Nityananda, become avadhutas too, and start dressing very finely with blue dhotis and lots of golden jewelry and turbans and so on. It is not that we do that, but we know that we know why he is doing it, and we know that our path is the path of Lord Chaitanya, who is a strict sannyasi, who upheld strict moral codes. And Lord Nityananda brings us there. That is his goal. He brings people to the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So ethics are good. They sustain us in our devotional service. We should not become thieves. We should not become liars. We should not become aggressors or anything like that. We stick to ethics. They sustain us in Krishna consciousness, like Maharaj has been talking about in the last few the Tuesday classes that are going on at this moment. The ethics are there to guide us, but we know that not everyone is within those ethics, and so Lord Nityananda, if he breaks it, it is not a fault. It is proof of his greatness. And people did criticize him during his days. When he got married, people criticized him. We have records in the biographies where people said, "Who is this Nityananda? And look at him, he's an avadhuta, now he's getting married twice." That is just, he's up there in his own world. So, does that satisfy or answer your question? Yeah, sometimes people criticize because of envy or fear. What would happen if the whole world would become like Lord Nityananda? Imagine that. But sometimes it's also a lack of understanding. Just you see a person acting very strangely, and you think, this is just a mad person. He should be in an asylum. I was once talking with someone in Oxford who studies medieval saints, Christian medieval saints. And she said that probably if these people would have lived today, they'd all be locked up in an insane asylum, because their behavior is so weird sometimes that people just have no idea what to do with it, so they lock them up. In the case of Lord Nityananda, we see he's not a crazy person. He's actually the most sane person of us all. He's the person who's directly in touch with Krishna, which is reality, whereas we're all crazy, because we hold on to worldly values and so on, which disappear with the end of the world, whereas he's already beyond the world, to that which is ultimately real. So he's the most sane person of everyone in this room. So I guess now we'll have the Abhishek. We'll install Lord Nityananda as the king of our lives. And the Abhishek is a consecration of a king. So let's do that if the pujaris are ready. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Nityananda Ram ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.